Welcome to Cashing In on Content Marketing. Each week, marketing experts will explain how to measure your content marketing results and communicate that value to stakeholders. I'm your host, Fractal Marketing Director, Amanda Milligan. This week on the show, I am pleased to be joined by Foti Panagiotikopoulos. He is the founder of Growth Mentor, which is a site that helps people who need guidance on growing their companies to talk to experts. It's a very cool website. And we're going to talk about user-generated content today, which we've not addressed on the show, and I think could be really useful. So welcome to the show, Foti.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. So before we jump in, can you talk a little bit about Growth Mentor? Because that's going to be kind of the case study we're zooming in on in this episode.
Sure, sure. So Growth Mentor is a community / marketplace platform where founders and marketers can book calls with vetted growth marketing and startup mentors and just kind of go over their growth challenges. They could talk wide, they could go deep, but the point is to just get a second perspective and bounce ideas off of people that have like been there, done that experience, because there's a lot of like nuanced things that you might not get from blog posts. So like nothing really beats that one-to-one sometimes.
And this is a very bootstrapped endeavor, correct? So when we're talking about how you were able to grow this company, this was very much using a lot of growth tactics that like literally you and a few others were implementing.
Yeah, this is completely bootstrapped. So I mean, self-funded, but by the time we launched, like all the runway was kind of gone. So it was just surviving from the salary kind of thing. So yeah, we had to be really lean, and content turned out to be the best channel for us.
Awesome. Yeah. So let's talk about that. Before we go into exactly what you did using user-generated content, let's start with the basics. How do you define user-generated content?
Sure. Great question. So user-generated content is, it's exactly that. It's like any content that's created by people, specifically like your users, instead of by your brand, right? Like a freelancer or an in-house employee creating the content, it's created by your users. So this could be like, you know, even reviews or blog post contributions. It could take the format of video, a variety of different things.
Okay, so how did you use this concept of user-generated content? Like, when did you decide to start utilizing that, and how did you use it to grow Growth Mentor?
Yeah, so it was decided really on before the build of Growth Mentor even began. I'm generally an SEO and content camp and have been for a very long time. So it's something that I knew that if I was going to start my own startup, like it would have to, the foundations of its growth would need to be an evergreen sort of lead generation channel that would have to compound and build upon itself. And I realized that because it's a marketplace and we're dealing with people on both sides, it's generally pretty, like there's a lot of opportunities to harness different touch points in the customer lifecycle to kind of get that content generated from the user. So the way I like to view it, it's like almost like a turbocharger on an engine, right? So like how that works is the exhaust is then piped right back into air manifest, and then it adds more boost to the engine, right? So you're using your output and you're pushing that back into the engine to make it even stronger, right? So with Growth Mentor, like when people sign up as mentors, they have to fill an application. And on that application, they're asked a variety of different questions. What is the, like an out-of-the-box idea that you did in growth, or describe yourself? What does a growth mindset mean to you? So a variety of different questions that we can then use as a standalone piece of like roundup content at the end of the month to showcase the new mentors that were added each month. So that's just like one example of UGC that's part of our systems.
So when we think about the perks of considering user-generated content, one of them is obviously now you're just getting content supplied to you. You don't have to create it yourself. So it's just having that resource. What other perks do you think there are?
The biggest perk that I can think of is the added conversion rate that it adds on all the other pieces of content that you create. I mean, I think there's like this one stat, like 84% of millennials say that UGC on websites influences what they buy. And that's this trend that we're seeing, and people don't trust brands anymore. So by leveraging user-generated content, you can drive like bottom of funnel. Like basically, I think the coolest part of UGC is when you mix top of funnel UGC with bottom of funnel intent as well.
Okay. And are you able to measure that? Like, how are you able to know that it was the user-generated content that made that difference?
We have different categories of user-generated contents. We have one section called the advice, for example, and then we measure first click interaction, and then we just basically have our goal set up in the back of Google Analytics, and we see how many conversions that content pushed. So it's just really basic stuff, like just goal tracking.
Do you have any other examples of how people can start thinking about ways to collect information from people? So like in your case, you said you had a form that people who were applying to be growth mentors filled out. Are there any other ways you would recommend people consider collecting that type of information or prompting people to supply
it? Yeah. I think that a good way would be by creating a customer success program. You might be thinking, okay, customer success, what does that have to do with UGC? But I think it has a lot to do with it, because it, essentially the way I view of customer success, it's like a social proof factory that you create. So like the steps that we like to follow is, we recently made a hire for a full-time, this time, customer success agent. And what they do is, because we have a community on Slack as well, it's after users have engaged, booked their first couple of calls, there's a one-to-one reach out just to kind of like test the temperature and see how they're doing and if there's any recommendations we can make. So that like one-to-one interaction. And then when you do that and you pitch and you have real like conversations with people that are successfully using your service, you can then really easily ask them to do customer stories, right? And I think that that's a very high impact content move that brands could do, is add a customer story section to your site, because it's really not that difficult. You just have to have enough positive touch points with your users. Just organize a Zoom call where you just interview them and ask how they're using your service, transcribe that call, and then boom, you know, you've got a customer story where you could have an editor edit it for like, you know, 30, 45 minutes, post it to your WordPress. And you know, if you're clever with your SEO on page as well, you could even potentially try and position that customer story to rank for some actual like bottom of funnel intent keywords, or like maybe even problem specific keywords, like how so-and-so SaaS company increased conversion rate by 300%, right? Or like that could be the title.
I think I just saw a growth mentor video like this. I think you reached a certain number of calls, and I think I saw it was like a compilation of customers talking about how it was valuable to them. So you are like practicing what you're preaching.
Doing this yourself. They're awesome, by the way. Those are really good, because you get content, UGC, from various different users, and then you can make little compilation videos, right? And they're so cool for social media, because they're engaging. You can make them like 30 seconds and it doesn't really bore you. It's not like one person talking the whole time, right? So
yeah, and that speaks to repackaging it too. So not just using this information in one way, it's once you've collected it, you could probably use it in multiple ways, right? Like you even just said, okay, we made a video and then we moved to social. Like what other examples of that do you have? Or how, when you collect this, how many different places do you actually end up using it?
It's quite a few places. So for example, the customer story videos, we can repurpose them and use them as Facebook ads for remarketing. The mentor profile videos, the same thing. They can be ads. We also have this thing that we launched on November called the Summit, the Growth Mentor Summit. So imagine like a massive webinar with like 50 speakers, right? So like all of that content was kind of cut up, repurposed as well for social. And quite a few of those talks were transcribed and turned into blog posts. So what we do is, for the really, really good summit videos, which were effectively just presentations from select mentors on a Google Slides on a certain topic, like going really deep. And some of them, like I looked at and I'm like, wow, this is really good. So we transcribed them and then just edited it out and contacted some of the mentors and said, hey, we've transcribed your talk for you. Here it is. Do you mind if we publish it on the advice section? Which is like a separate editorial, like a blog just for content that the mentors want to create. So that was one way that we leveraged UGC, like, and kind of helped them out to make it super easy. Because I think if you make things easy for your users, they're just much more highly likely to engage and to help you out with it. It's like a polite thing to do.
Right. I mean, that's the case for almost anything in marketing, right? You want to make like the least amount of friction as possible to increase the chances people actually take the action you want them to take. Yeah, I really like the idea of talking about, if you have any more examples of, you know, in one way you had it built in where you had them submit the questions as part of like the initial form. So they had to kind of give you that information of, like you said, growth stories or times they took risks. Is there any other way that people can solicit this information? That if somebody's listening and they're like, I don't even know how to collect this yet, you know, can they just ask? Like, what are the ways in which they can start building that kind of a mechanism to get this type of information?
Sometimes it's just a matter of sending out a broadcast email to your users and asking and saying, hey, we're open to guest posters, you know, and as a thank you, we'll promote the blog post that you write all over social media. It helps obviously if you have a lot of followers, and you can then also mention the fact that they're going to get a do follow backlink. People tend to really like do follow backlinks, so it could be an incentive. And I think it's important to take a step back and see if certain business processes that you already are doing are also kind of giving you content, but you're not really realizing, or maybe there's an opportunity to easily add one more step that could help enable some sort of a collection mechanism. But generally speaking, like the easiest form, as I was saying earlier, like that I think a lot of people should do is just those customer stories.
Right.
Yeah.
Have you iterated at all? You launched this, was it 2018?
Yeah, in September 2018, we officially launched.
Have you been able to kind of use the same techniques you were using then now, or have you iterated on it and kind of seen ways you can tweak it or improvements that you can make?
We've definitely iterated. It's more like expanded on things and just added more different types of UGC that we're collecting, and we're just getting a little bit more creative as well with how to repurpose content. Because I think it's more exciting to get the content and to just create it and post it. But then the act of thinking, all right, well, I posted it here. What could I do with this if we cut it up and repurpurpose it on Quora, or like, you know, that's the time consuming kind of grunt work, which a lot of people don't want to do. But I think that you could easily create a process, not easily, but I mean, it's part of the job to create processes for, and then maybe delegate things to virtual assistants or interns to kind of keep that going.
You're absolutely right. And that the first part's the fun part, and then a lot of it just falls off because it becomes a little more time consuming, at the very least time consuming, to repurpose, repackage. And it's a really common topic in content, I think, to make the most out of what you're doing, which helps you get buy-in, you know, to do this sort of thing. If you can say, yeah, we're collecting this information, it might take a little more work, but also we're going to be able to use it in like literally 10 different ways and for months or years. So when you're talking about some kind of a process or something in order to distribute this, when you said you'd repurpose it for Quora or Reddit, what does that look like?
Repurposing for Quora is taking snippets from your blog posts that answer specific questions that have high number of followers on Quora and just reposting it as an answer. So one might worry, well, isn't that duplicate content then? Because it's on my blog and I'm posting a copy paste on Quora. It's not if you're not doing the entire post. But let's just say that you are copy pasting your entire blog post on a Quora answer because it was indexed first on your site. Google's not going to attribute that content to Quora as the original source. So, I mean, Quora is a low-lying fruit for this content repurposing from your blog, you know, and it doesn't give you any do-follow links, but just like those added no-follows are also kind of signals to help with indexing as well.
Right. There's always a debate over that, but recently I think it's more accepted that no-follow matters to a certain degree.
Yeah. I think they're always kind of changing the thumb.
Are there any other like low-hanging fruit type of opportunities like that?
Do you mean like with cross-promoting content or?
Yeah.
I mean, Medium is another big one. I mean, you can do the canonical thing, right? So like it gives you the page ownership, the content. But Medium, I mean, there's a lot of different micro communities. Every single listener to this probably is in a completely unique situation, right? So it's just about knowing your ICP and knowing where they kind of dwell.
So what do you suggest? A question I often ask on this show is, if somebody had to get buy-in, like you run this company, you can make whatever decisions you want and test things out. But if somebody wants to do this and they have to report to somebody or get buy-in from other teams, what do you think is the biggest mistake people make when they set out to do that? Like, what advice would you give to somebody who is trying to...
To somebody trying to get buy-in?
Yeah.
For UGC or specifically, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I definitely harp on the very small marginal cost to create content because it's literally free. And it just requires some added cost to process that UGC, because UGC in its rawest form, sometimes, many times, I mean, at least in my case, it's not really that useful. So you do need time to process it. But once you do, it's the gift that keeps on giving. And consider putting, like, you know, on one column, how much money you'd actually have to spend hiring freelancers to create A-plus grade content. Because I mean, let's be honest, right? Like, the days of getting by with B-plus grade content, I think they're kind of over. It's very difficult to rank now. It's competitive. So, like, if you're going to invest the time and effort to do content, you want to do it at a really high level, right? So paying for that sort of content on a consistent basis, yeah, it's much more expensive. So if you can kind of nail that automated content growth loop, it's something that does have exponential compounding effects. So yeah, I mean, that's one way to kind of sell it on a higher level. But then, like, moving further down, like, how do you actually quantifiably show the effects of that? And I think that's possible by just doing the basics on Google Analytics, getting it right. And you'd be surprised how many people just don't even, like, track goals or the really basic stuff just by using a destination URL as the goal trigger, like the thank you page. Of course, remembering to kind of look into, go on and look at your first click attribution, meaning that, all right, someone's coming from Google to your content, and then at some point they purchase, right? So, like, what was that first page they landed on? Disregarding everything, all the steps that happen in between, because by just looking at the last click, like, you're most of the times not going to really know, like, what that initial source was that they came in from, if it was from organic. And yes, yeah, so just having a good overview on, like, the basics down on your attribution settings is super helpful if you want to get buy-in, because, like, you'll start seeing signs probably within the first 2 months that it's working or not. And it's good to share the small little successes.
Absolutely. Do you think that all brands could benefit from user-generated content? In your case, you were saying it was a platform, you're building a community, it really inherently makes a lot of sense to do it. But do you think it's something that's beneficial across the board, or that certain brands would benefit from it more than others?
I think that brands, that companies that in their product or service, there's a human-to-human interaction, would definitely help benefit from this. Because, like, even if you don't have a community built in, or you don't have a very clear and obvious way, like Pinterest, right, or like any social network, on how to create user-generated content at scale, like, you can always fall back on just leveraging customer stories and how people are using your service, which then in turn can help you, at least in the ideation stage, think of, like, what sort of solution pages you might be able to make, or long tail landing pages you can make. So I think that there's a lot to be said about UGC and how it could also inspire content, like ideation for new blog posts, basically leveraging the voice of the customer. Right? It all comes back to your users. Like, how are they using your product? Why do they stay with it? And to find out the biggest reasons why people love you, and just kind of double down on those types of stories. And that level of insight you only really get when you talk to your customers as well. So that needs to be, like, a built-in loop in any business, I think, if you want to get not just UGC, but just any sort of content marketing strategy to work. Just have that your ear constantly on the customer's pulse and see what sort of pain points they're having and how they're solving them using your product.
Yeah, I think for people who haven't done this at all, that it's a great place to start by just talking to their customers. And, like you said, highlighting those stories. But that's a very bottom of the funnel effort. Is this something that can be just as effective more mid or top? Are there examples of ways to use this type of content in order to just build brand awareness, for example, rather than trying to convert somebody who already knows who you are?
For sure, yeah. Brand awareness. I mean, one of the things that we're actually going to launch in the next site iteration, which is probably going to go live next month, is a section of the site called Use Cases. So these are going to be pages specifically talking about how people are using Growth Mentor, like, for example, how to decide what keywords to use, right? Like, for my keyword research. Mm-hmm. And then talking about how people are using Growth Mentor to get answers to that question, but at the same time also adding some value by giving some tips and so on those pages. So that's targeting a top of funnel concept, but it's also interlaying, like, how the product could be a solution as well. So it's basically taking pain. It's really, if you could create UGC in order to track top of funnel problem aware, but solution not aware visitors, and then kind of introduce your solution, your product as a potential solution, I think that's like the ultimate sort of thing that you could do with UGC. But it's quite difficult to do at scale.
Yeah, it sounds like the best of both worlds, which it's rare for something to hit all of those different targets.
For sure, for sure.
But hey, if you can, if there's an opportunity, absolutely. So knowing the objective of the show is to help people, marketers with their content initiatives, understand the value and get buy-in, who would you recommend to be future guests on the show?
Definitely recommend Benji Haim from growandconvert.com.
I've definitely seen him. I've seen him on Growth Hackers. I've seen him around sharing all kinds of content advice.
And his content is really good. I highly subscribe with his concept of pain point SEO.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the show and sharing your experience with user-generated content.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
For more insights and exclusive resources on how to justify content marketing, join our email newsletter by going to frac.tl, clicking on Our Work, and then Podcast. See you next week.